We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and we hope you're having a blessed Holy Week. We've now come to the eve of Easter, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're gearing up for our sunrise service tomorrow morning, John. Bright and early, 6:30, if you want to join us.
You know, I would love to, Matt, but I have responsibilities here with the choir and what have you.
Oh, I'm just sorry to hear that,
at
John.
At 10:30 in the morning, by the way.
So, ample time to get over here. We've got a breakfast,
I don't know.
Even.
It'd be rushing to get back, I think.
Got it. Yeah, you need to warm up your voice, I'm sure. And all that comes with that.
Dude, by the way, so you give everyone your service times real quick. So when is your sunrise and where is it at?
Yeah, Easter Sunday. We'd love for you to join us if you're in the St. Louis area, and especially if you don't have a church home. We'd really love for you to join us. But 6:30 a.m. outdoors, right across from beautiful Francis Park here in South St. Louis for our sunrise service. And then two services indoors at 8:30 and 10 a.m. And then we'll have a breakfast served throughout the morning, too. So, that's just kind of throughout the morning. So, we'll start about 7 and serve till about 10. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I might get over for breakfast and get back over here in time. We'll see.
We'll save you some sausage, John. We'll save you some bacon. You're a bacon man.
Oh, you have sausage and bacon?
For you, yes.
For me, John. For us. Okay. Well, blessings on your worship, the one thing we want to reflect on this eve, though, of Easter, and by the way, if anyone listens to us and things work out really well, this is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is in power and control, because Matt and I do not plan things out. We just take whatever it is the Lord gives us, and we throw it together, and we hope that it works. But we were talking about people responding to the cross last week. Do you remember what we were talking about last week, Matt? I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
All
I think I can recall
5 minutes ago.
As we record two episodes. No, it's I mean, this is unedited, first take, stuff on Resume the Basics. So, yes, we are evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit, John. So last week we were talking about the Jesus crucifixion. And we talked about how some at the foot of the cross mock him, right? And boy, this man must be a worse sinner, a worse offender, this Jesus, and even taunt him. And, you know. But there's others, right, who seem to believe, right? Yeah. Even repent, even cry out to Jesus, remember me, Jesus, right? So we want to take a look at that today, I believe.
Yeah. In fact, it's interesting if you think about it. On this day, the Saturday before Easter, most people thought everything was over, right? If you're Peter, if you're John, if you're Mary, if you're the disciples, you're locked up in a room for fear of the Jews, afraid that they're going to come and grab you and do the same thing that they did to Jesus. If you're on the other end, you're a Pharisee or a scribe or one of the priests, you're thinking, well, that's done with. We finally got Jesus finished off. Don't need to worry about that anymore. There's only one guy in the story that knows the truth of what actually is going on. And that's the guy we want to talk about today, who is the thief on the cross. Okay?
Okay.
So why don't you start, Matt? Let's just set the situation for the people here. We're going to be doing the Gospel of Luke chapter 23, and that's really significant when it comes to the thief on the cross. This story wouldn't work if it was in Matthew or Mark or John, but it really works in Luke. So if you'd read verses 35 through 38, just to give us the background.
Okay, so this is Luke 23, beginning with verse 35. All right. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saves others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There also was an inscription written over him. This is the king of the Jews.
So what's going on? What's going on at the foot of the cross, Matt?
Yeah, so chaos and mocking. People are there and everyone's there. That's what I think is kind of interesting. People, the rulers even, right?
Yeah.
Mocking him. Is he really the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah? We could even say soldiers, Roman soldiers. They're joining in too with the mocking. If you are the king, save yourself. So I think that's kind of interesting. The Jews seem to be mocking him over the whole title of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And
the
Romans seem to be mocking him over the title of king, at least in these verses.
So we do need to add one more group to it because Luke leaves out one group. So I'm just going to read you a verse here. I won't make you, because I know, because you're using a paper Bible, aren't you, Matt?
I am, John.
Yeah, we really need to get you to the computer Bible, because I know you get those paper cuts so easy, Matt.
Yeah, you need to move into the 21st century. I understand. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and if you could see Matt, he's got the big mittens on, which makes it even harder to turn the pages. But I know you do that to protect your fingers.
The holy mittens.
The holy mittens. That's right. But anyway, from Matthew 27:44, we're told, and the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Okay? Just so you know that the thieves were doing the same thing that everybody else was doing. They were mocking him. Pardon me. And I wanted to start with that verse, Matt, because we all know the story, right? We've got the thief. We've got two of them. The one guy is mocking and the other says, oh, you know, we're getting what we deserve. We'll get into the details of that in a second. But I think the danger is we don't want to make this into a morality tale. Okay. So mm-hmm. The point of the story is, well, we've got this one guy. We'll demonize him, you know, because he doesn't repent. I mean, that's a valid thing you were talking about. You must repent or you will likewise perish, okay? So, this is the evil guy because he doesn't repent, see? We're pointing the finger again, aren't we?
Yep.
You're back to what you talked about last week. Thank God I'm not like that thief, okay?
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
But
I would be the good thief if I was there.
That's right. You would be, man. I know you would be. But see, that's the point. They're not good.
Yep.
They're both sinning. That's how the whole thing starts out. So no, it isn't a story about we got the one good thief and the one bad thief. No, we have two sinners, and they're getting what sinners deserve. If you and I had been there, Matt, we would have been hanging on a cross dying too. That's a fact. Yeah. If you do not repent, you will all likewise what?
Perish.
Perish, yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to just affirm what you're saying. I just really appreciate it. This is not like an Aesop's fable where the moral of the story is, you know, it's the tortoise and the hare or something that, you know, be the tortoise who was, you know, steady the whole time. You know, no, this is not, it's not the good criminal and the bad criminal. They're both rotten. They both probably committed murder or who knows what to earn a spot there on the cross. And they're both, like you point out, John, mocking Jesus, both of them.
Yeah. Years ago, did we go down to Sparta together at any point, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Go down to eat the Chinese restaurant?
Buffet there. Yeah. And sure. I've preached it.
Some of you,
I preached at St. John's there.
Oh, did you? Okay, all right. Well,
I think I filled
in.
I remember once.
As you were driving down the road to Sparta, someone had put up three crosses off to the side of the road. The middle cross was the cross for Jesus, and then there was the two thieves. And I remember that they had labeled them. On the one, it said saved, and on the other one, it said not saved. And as I studied the Bible, I had to acknowledge there is a truth to that. We are not saying that all men are saved, okay? Some are condemned. That's what it says. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not is condemned. But on the other hand, that always bothered me because, as you alluded to last week, for God so loved the what?
The world.
The world, right? In fact, Jesus Christ died to save sinners. He desires all people to be saved, it says in 1 Timothy 2:14. So in a sense, they're all saved. Unfortunately, some people don't want to be saved. They reject that. They won't believe it. Well, anyway, but back well, to no, our point. Well,
I think that's so important, John, because, you know, and especially I think that's a Lutheran, and I would say biblical teaching, right, and distinction. You know, we don't teach this idea of a limited atonement, right?
No, thank
you. That Jesus only died for those who believe in him. That Jesus only died, only saved those who believe in him. You know, no, Jesus, like you point out, died for the whole world. God sent his son to the whole world. Now, sadly, some reject him, right? That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't die for them. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. No, Jesus died for all. He loves all. He wants all to be with him in heaven. But sadly, some reject that gospel message. And no, they don't have salvation in that sense. They don't have that eternal life that he died to give them.
And it's ironic. It ties into what you were talking about last week, because we have that beautiful passage. I do not desire the death of the wicked, which I'm thinking, yeah, I desire the death of the wicked. It wouldn't bother me. But Jesus, God says, Jesus and God are the same. I do not desire the death of the wicked, but that they would what?
Turn.
Yeah. Turn repent from their again. Evil ways. Same thing we had last week. So that's the first thing. We got to know that this guy is a sinner, just like any other sinner. And both men, God wanted to save them. Jesus wanted to save them. So then we're left with a question. How does this guy get the courage to come up and say, Jesus, will you remember me in your kingdom? Because that takes a lot of guts. You know, if I was hanging on the cross, if I was Jesus and you were hanging next to me and you'd been making fun of me as you do. Thank you for not doing it.
It's usually off air though, John.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. But if in your dying breath you would come and say, oh, John, please remember me. I'd say, oh, yeah, sure. Now that you're dying.
Yep.
Now you come crying to me. Should have thought of that an hour ago, buddy.
Too bad, so sad. Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. So my question is, I'll throw it out to you, Matt, because I discovered the answer some time ago. What in the world gave this guy the guts to ask Jesus to remember him in the kingdom, even after he'd been mocking and making fun of him?
Yeah.
Any idea?
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting, you know, he uses the word kingdom, right? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. So how is this guy who's dying on a cross, how can he possibly have a kingdom, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, again, the sign above Jesus, proclaiming him as king, right? And the mocking, the king of the Jews. And this guy recognizes that, you know, despite all appearances, Jesus has a kingdom. It's not of this world. No, he's down on a cross. It ain't of this world. But Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, how does he say that? Is your question, John? I mean, the only thing I got is it's the power of the Holy Spirit and, you know, the power of the word that he's been hearing spoken from Jesus' lips on the cross, right? Beyond that, boy, I really don't know.
You know what?
That's what I got for you.
see again, and here's more evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, because you and I we've done this before. We've done it, and yet now there's a whole new thing that I never thought of. Because you're right, the text emphasized there was an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews.
Yeah,
it's coming right out of the text, and you're right. I had not even thought of that angle. This is why he says, "Remember me in your kingdom." So he is recognizing that this guy, he has a kingdom, and apparently it's not a kingdom of this world, but maybe it is a kingdom of something after this world.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Uh-huh. And that's the only hope this guy has, because he ain't going to make the kingdom of this world's put him to death. You know, the Romans just nailed this criminal to the cross. So he has no hope for kingdom of this world. His only hope is an otherworldly kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus.
So here, because here's the thing. This isn't a TV show. There is not going to be a host of angels that will suddenly come down and deliver Jesus. Take this guy too, because he's been nice to me. Or will there be an armed force of disciples who will come at the last minute and rescue Jesus? No, you're right. They're all going to die, and they all know that. I love that, Matt. So the only kingdom he could possibly think of would be a future kingdom. Well, and this guy, he's the king. He's the king. So, I like that. Will you remember me in your kingdom?
Yeah. When you think about it, that's our only hope. I mean, if our hope is the kingdom of this world as a Christian, the kings of this world don't don't usually treat us too well, you know, but no, our hope is in another kingdom, the kingdom of the guy who died on a cross.
Extremely personal then. We're all in the same situation. What kingdom do you want? What king are you looking for? And here's what gives him the reason to think he can ask this king.
Yeah, John, what do you, what do you got?
Well, go back and read verse 34. Verse 34.
And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And what's interesting is, for whatever reason, and I guess just because he didn't want to play favorites, the Holy Spirit kind of divvies up the words of Jesus. Isn't that strange? Every gospel has its own selection of the words.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's just the Holy Spirit says, look, I don't want to play any favorites here. So, okay, you can have this word, Matt and John and...
Because there's seven, right? Seven words. Jesus speaks seven times from the cross, and they're divided among the four gospels.
Yeah, there's no repetition, is there?
I don't think there's any repeats. I think they're all unique to that gospel, each gospel.
And so there's no doubt he's given these two words for Luke, because that thief, he heard Jesus praying for their forgiveness for these people that were crucifying him. And obviously that, well, let's read the story. Let's read the story now. Verse 39 through 43.
One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, you do not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
So I think the guy, he heard that word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He contemplated on that. He began to think, yeah, I need forgiveness. See, there's the repentance you were emphasizing last week. Yeah, the truth is I am getting what I deserve. Yeah, really, I do need forgiveness. Well, what am I going to, well, there's like you say, there's that. There's this king next to me, and he's a king apparently wants to forgive even people who are crucifying him. Maybe he would. Will you remember me in your kingdom? Now, Matt, I know you've probably now you didn't. You said you never preached on the people in the Tower of Siloam fell and were bloodied by Pilate. You've certainly preached on this text before, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah, you bet. We have a. Yes, we have a Traore service in our circuit that we all of us pastors participate in, and it's divided in nine parts, but there's a beginning and an end, but the other seven in the middle are the words of Christ from the cross. So I've been around the circuit long enough that I've preached on all of those. So, anyway.
So what particular insights did the Holy Spirit give you when you studied this text?
Well, I think one of them is you know, this seems so... miraculous, right? And it's dramatic, you know, the two criminals on the cross and Jesus is going to, today he'll be with me in paradise. But when you think about it, I mean, it's the exact same way that Jesus saves us and works faith in us. The thief comes to believe, it seems, through Jesus' words, and the Spirit works faith in him to say, or you know, to have this confidence to believe that Jesus does have a kingdom and is innocent. And that's exactly how we have faith. It's through the words of Christ. It's through God's word. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we believe and that we are able to have access to Christ's kingdom. So in some ways it's a very unique text, and it is Good Friday and it is dramatic. But on the other hand, it's our story too. Yeah, and it's how everyone comes to faith. It's through the word and through the Spirit.
Yeah, and that's what I really appreciate, and thank you for emphasizing that, because we're going to look at one specific word that Jesus speaks to this man, but it's absolutely important that we realize this is the word he's speaking to us right now, this very moment, okay? Because you're right, there is no faith. None of us will come to either repentance or to the knowledge of God's forgiveness apart from the word that he speaks to us, and it's very important for us to know he is talking to us. To everyone who's listening to us, because you have this beautiful phrase then, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I hope all of our listeners know this is Jesus right here, right now, speaking to you. Now, this is going to get to be fun. Today, today. Now, there's two ways that can be interpreted. Jesus is saying, today I say to you. So the today goes with, I say to you. Or the other way it can be interpreted is, today you will be with me in paradise. So the today goes with the words paradise. What do you think, Matt? Is Jesus saying, I say to you today? Or is he saying, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Am I communicating the difference?
Yes, I think so. So the one distinction is, today I'm telling you this, right?
Yeah.
On Good Friday, I'm telling you these words, right?
Yeah.
And the other one is, today on Good Friday, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Yeah. Right? So what do you think?
Oh, John. Well, maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. Okay. That's a good Lutheran answer, but you have the whole thing with, Jesus descended to hell. And when did that take place? And I think sometimes we get ourselves into trouble trying to think of an exact timeline because scripture simply just doesn't give us one.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the point is, the important point is he's going to be in paradise.
Yeah.
And so, I think there's comfort for us when someone dies in Christ. I think it's kind of where the rubber hits the road. What about, grandma when she dies? Is she with Jesus in paradise?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd say, well, yeah, this Chris criminal, who knows what he did, right? He's forgiven. He's in paradise. And when we die in Christ, we too, we're forgiven. We are in paradise. We think the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting when Christ returns, super important. At the time of death, no, we're with Jesus. We're in paradise.
So I asked my pastor, Lyle Bittner, who, by the way, Lyle, he is the master of languages. He has Hebrew, he knows Greek, he knows Aramaic, he knows Latin.
He's a little too smart, it sounds like.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. No, I remember Lyle working the seminary library, and bright guy.
So I was asking him this too, because my interpretation has always been that the today goes with the paradise. That he's saying to us, right now, you and me, today we're going to be in paradise. Mm-hmm. But he said, you can't tell for sure. That the grammar doesn't determine anything there.
Okay.
The arrangement of words doesn't say this has to be this way. So I think what you said earlier probably is the best solution. It's both and. My experience is sometimes things in the scripture are ambiguous, but not in a bad way, in a way that says, these are all truths here, and we can do that. We can give this and express several truths. And I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the truths is, as you alluded, if this is the day you're dying, if you're like the thief or your loved one, it's come to the day that is happening or within days, death is right here present. Well, there's the truth. Yeah, you're going to be with Jesus in paradise. We don't know how long you're going to be here, but that is a fact.
Yeah.
You will be with Jesus when you die, okay? On the other hand, I'm thinking of myself. I don't particularly want to die today, okay? So that promise doesn't mean I'm hoping that. No, I don't want that promise. Some future point, yes, but not at this point. I don't want to know that today I'm going to be in paradise. And so in that situation, then the promise is Jesus is saying to us today, as we've emphasized over and over again already, everyone listening to us, Jesus is talking to you today, right here, this moment. And this is not a coincidence or fluke that you've stumbled upon this podcast, because Jesus wants you to know that, yes, paradise is his plan for you in the future. That is what is going to happen. And you can be sure of that, because you could be such an evil, wicked sinner that you're hanging on a cross and dying because you deserve it, as we all will die because we deserve it. And yet Jesus Christ has forgiven our sins. That's what he's dying for. So he can say that to you, and he is saying it to you right now. Now, here's the interesting thing that Pastor Bittner told me. What we can see from the grammar is the importance of things, because apparently Greek puts words in order of importance. In the German, and I may be wrong, I wish we had Pastor Bittner here to confirm this, but I believe usually in the German, the verb is at the end of the sentence. Do you know anything? No, you don't know, do you? No, I don't.
No, whatever you say, John.
Okay, well, trust me. I think in the German, the verb is at the end of the sentence, okay? Obviously, you do know this. In English, we usually start with a subject, and then the next thing is the verb. But the Greeks, they don't care anything about that kind of word order. They just put things in order of importance. So here's the surprise. What's the last word in this text, in this verse, in this word of Jesus?
Well, in English, it's paradise.
And that's what it is in the Greek, too.
All right.
But you know what comes before paradise? Today you will be with me. And I thought, oh, see, that's cool. Paradise is great. I'm not taking away anything from paradise, okay? I'm glad that's coming up. But here's the thing. What's really important is that we're with Jesus. That's what's important. Isn't there some hymn that says, even if I were in heaven, if Jesus wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Heaven itself would be cold and bare if thou weren't with me, right?
Yeah.
Heaven itself would be cold and bare if Jesus wasn't there. And yeah, I mean, I think Jesus is what makes it paradise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Lord, thee I love with all my heart, I think is the hymn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love thee. Yeah. I won't start singing. We don't want people to turn off their radios.
I think, you know, Jesus is what makes paradise paradise. Yep. If Jesus wasn't there, well, then it ain't paradise, right?
No. Yeah. And that's what's great about this text. So it's being with Jesus. That is the promise. Yeah. That is the beautiful promise he's making right here and now. And I just hope everybody realizes that. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're with Jesus, even this moment. And again, that's what makes Easter beautiful, to go to church, to take the Lord's Supper, to hear the words read, the story of his resurrection. And the thing to remember, though, is even when you leave church, you don't leave alone. Jesus will still be with you there. That's the only reason you're going to church, is to remind yourself of that. Because sometimes during the day, day in and day out, you wonder, did he not make it? did he lose his direction or something? Did he get, you know, sometimes I'm waiting for you to show up so we can record. And I'm thinking, well, is Matt coming? What's going on? Yeah, that's the beautiful promise of this text, that Jesus is with us. Because in this world, I don't know, sometimes we have the evidence of God's love when things are going good and we have people that love and care for us and we're surrounded by family and friends that we love. But other times we're not. But here's the promise. Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee to the end of the ages. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Jesus Christ. It's like he really goes out of his way to say, here's the one thing the thief should know, and that you should know, Matt, and I should know, and all of our listeners should know, Jesus is with us, and man, as long as he is with us, all things will work together for our good. Well, any final comments here before we wrap up on our last episode before Easter?
Just a final comment. You know, if I'm dying on a cross and someone's like, well, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah.
I might be like, no, just shut up. But not Jesus, you know, and it just reminds me, why did he come in the first place? To seek and save the lost.
Yeah.
And even in his dying breaths, that's what Jesus is doing. He's saving the lost. And he says to even this criminal, today you'll be with me, right, with me in paradise.
And the thing is no one would have thought that guy would have been saved. I'm sure if you asked anybody there, they would say, yep, there's a guy. There's a guy I can tell you for sure that's going to hell. But Jesus said something different. Today you will be with me in paradise. Thank you for joining us for Wrestling with the Basics. We hope you have a blessed Easter.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.